Episode of These Broads. I'm your host, Chris Rivoli, and
here with Jack Chrissy. Hello. Yep.
And we have our special guest Aaron Ransom today.
What's up?
How we doing? And
what's up, Aaron?
What's up?
Thank you for the local Triangle comedy scene listening to this. I hope you all enjoyed your guest spot with Dave Attell this weekend.
Yeah.
All 77 of you that got a guest spot, congratulations. I hope it was everything you dreamed of and more.
20 comics waiting around.
Throwing shade early.
Immediately.
Hell yeah.
Immediately.
Fresh off the gate. My favorite ones were the ones who went to get the guest spot and then didn't watch Dave Attell.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
How can you not watch Dave Attell? That pisses me off.
That's crazy.
They're like, I just want to post this on Instagram.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know how many people actually got a guest spot, but good for you.
About 400 comics.
Yeah, I mean, he dishes them out, though, so.
He's very giving, Kai.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, you want to do a guest spot? You could do a guest spot. You want to do a guest spot? You could do a guest spot.
I got tickets to see Dave Attell Saturday night, late show, and my buddy didn't tell me. But the tickets were front row. I was right by the stage, and he talked to me like the whole time. And he kept calling me son. He's like, son, what are you drinking?
This was this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He bought me a non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, the last 30 minutes were like the Dave and Jack show.
Really?
Like, it was straight up. Like, he was, yeah.
It was fucking crazy.
I was standing in the back of the room and watched the whole thing, and like, I didn't realize it till he was like, hello, young boy. And I was like, who's he talking to? And I was like, oh, fuck, that's Jack, dude.
Were you by yourself?
I was with my buddy Dom.
Nice.
Dom has like long black hair, and Dom got back from the bathroom right after Attell got on stage, and without missing a beat, when Dom sat next to me, Attell goes, oh, a pirate is friends with a skateboarder. Yeah.
Not bad. You sitting front row, I feel like you just give off energy, like, you should talk to me.
You're an easy target. I don't even say that in a mean way. I just mean, like, you don't look like anybody else that was on the front row at any show.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, I felt like he was going to talk to me, and then he did. So I was just trying to hold back as much as possible and just give him what he wanted.
Well, I forgot until he started talking to you.
Yeah.
I was like, it's easy to forget, because everybody goes and sees Dave because of his timing and his jokes
yeah,
and how great he does. He's a legend. But you forget, it's easy to forget in all that he does a lot of crowd work.
Right.
He does a lot of like prepared crowd work and like in the moment crowd work. He's very, very good at it. And I forgot that until he said, what's going on, boys? And I was like, oh shit, he's about to talk to Jack the rest of the show, man.
It was so much fun, dude.
I can't believe I didn't go to that show. I did see him at the Cellar, though, when I was in New York.
I did email him for a guest spot, though.
Yeah. You fucking asshole.
No, I don't do that. But I am jealous I didn't watch, but whatever.
People emailing the club, like, is that Dave Attell golden guest spot? Is there any way I can get that to see Dave Attell? Like, is there any way we can circumvent him asking me?
Let me get that Dave Attell golden ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was...
Yeah.
How did you just walk in and you watched?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
I mean,
to everyone listening, you can't do that. But a select few can, though. So don't think about doing that. Only few people can walk into the club and watch.
The way I'll put it, because somebody asked, like, so how do you go about getting like tickets to the tickets to the show or whatever?
Right.
Like if it's sold out, and they were just like, do you think we could just walk in?
Absolutely not.
And I was like, don't. No. I was like, there's a couple of things you need to go through in your brain first.
Yeah.
Have you featured? Are you really cool with the managers? Do the bouncers know you and like you?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a whole thing of like, how long have you been? Like, because there was people that like 3 or 4 months being like, can I just walk in and like watch it in the back? I was like, do not do that.
Don't ever do that.
Don't do that.
You can if it's like a half-sold show, I think, and you're very polite. But
if they know you, you know, like,
you just got to be straightforward about it. Like, hey, I'm a comic. I'm here to watch.
Here's what I'll say. Don't run the risk of, if you have an inkling of thinking that when you walk through those doors, the bouncers are going to be like, so where's your ticket?
Yeah.
Don't go in there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Exactly. Like, if you have even the slightest amount of self-awareness to be like, they're going to they're going to stop me and be like, hey, where's your ticket?
Uh-huh.
I do open mics here once a month. It's like, nah, that's not going to fly, dude. You got to.
Anytime someone asks me for advice on things like that, I always say the same thing. I go, well, here's the deal. It's either going to work and you're going to have no issues, or it's going to really fuck you over in the future.
Yeah, that's a really good
point. And there's no in between. Yeah. So whatever side you think you're on, then just think it's that
and
way.
Really, and what you got to really double down is like, and really think about it. Don't think about who you want to be.
Yeah.
Think about who you are right now, you know? Like, don't think about like...
Every
I'll put it this way: if
man.
You're not if you're not cool, like, because we all know who works the clubs and stuff. If you're not cool walking through the kitchen, if you're not cool walking that back way, and the manager seeing you in the kitchen and being like, "What's up?"
Yeah,
probably don't try to just walk in and watch a show
for
you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you what show I didn't want to watch though: Joe Coy's fucking Golden Globes.
Chris, are you telling me you didn't enjoy Joe Coy on the Golden Globes?
To be honest, we did watch it. I walked into Jack and Harrison's apartment, and Aaron was watching it, so I watched it.
Right.
There's a lot of controversy around it. Aaron, where are you going?
Aaron's going to the kitchen right now.
What, is he closing something?
Aaron just closed the refrigerator.
Dude, I was trying to keep it discreet. This is not a visual medium. I was trying to keep it discreet that I was walking to close the refrigerator.
The comic in my brain
that I had opened that was about to go like in the background.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, so just don't mind me just saving the podcast.
I could have easily I knew you were coming back, but the comic in my brain, I was like, did I just walk Aaron Ransom on my podcast?
That would be so fun. Like I just leave the apartment I'm staying in, just like, all right, boys. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
No, if only Joe Coy.
If y'all are
going to
bring
up
Joe Coy, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'll leave the apartment I'm staying in tonight.
Joe Coy gave me my whole career.
Yeah. I owe everything I have to that man. His sensibilities.
I thought it was fine for what it was. I mean, the
are
amount.
Are you kidding me? He blew, dude.
Right. But for the amount of headlines that I saw on Instagram
that
were like, this is a disgrace.
A lot of it is comics just ready to tear down somebody that's more successful than they are, you know?
Usually, yeah.
But he did bomb like hell. That was bad, man.
Yeah, I think what I did was, because I just watched it 10 minutes ago. So when I'm on Instagram for 5 days and I just see headlines that are like, this is outrageous. This is disrespect. This is not funny.
Yeah.
You're talking about the book. I'm expecting him to go off the rails.
Yeah.
So I think I thought it was going to be crazy. But I mean, he definitely bombed. But for the most part, I mean,
well, I've watched it 3 times now, and I will say the first time I watched it, it did have that internet hate residue on it. I'm just like, oh my God, let me prepare for this to be the worst thing I've ever heard. And then I watched it, and I guess that residual was still on. But then after watching it like the third time, like the time we just watched it, I was just like, there were some moments in there that were cringe, but overall, like he did the. It's like doing a job and not doing it well. It's like it's like that dude who went to Afghanistan with all his SEAL buddies. And he was the only one that came back. It's like y'all did the job, but it wasn't that good.
Talking about the SEAL Team 6?
No, I'm talking about SEAL Team 5.
SEAL Team 5.
SEAL Team 1.
Yeah, get your SEAL one teams came together.
Back. Yeah,
yeah, but at the same time, though, you're at the Golden Globes. You have to do 10 minutes in front of A-list actors in Hollywood. How well are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to do well. That's the job.
Well, I think everybody that watched Joe Coy do that. I think everybody, and it's easy. It's that hindsight's 2020 stuff. But it's like everybody that watched it got to armchair quarterback the better way to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
But they are not the guy, you know what I mean?
What
they're not the guy
like
up there.
What I don't like about Joe Coy is that he's like a golden retriever comedy-wise. There's nothing with any edge about him. He's boring. I don't like how white his teeth is and how bald his head is.
Yeah.
Watching him
he's getting along with everybody at the dog park.
Yes, he's shaking hands, kissing babies. I think he stinks. I'm not saying that as a comedian he is like a bad comic. I suppose what I'm saying is that it's not my cup of tea because it's like they booked the safest guy to do the Golden
Globes. It seemed like he, like, because I was like kind of looking at it. It seemed like they were trying to like make what he does palatable to that audience. And a lot of what he does is, I have a mother and she's an overbearing mother and she does this and my family's crazy. And being from this region of the earth, we do things this way, you know? And it's like they were trying to like mold it to his sensibilities of what he can actually do, what makes him thrive, and it just didn't work.
Not at all.
It's like in that realm, you either have to take like a person who either has like already has like a career that's very, very established, yeah, and they're like, this isn't going to ruin anything.
I just think the
or
booker.
You have to take somebody who just like drives the plane into the Pentagon on that shit.
Right.
You have to take.
Wait, pause.
You have to go. No, like what I'm saying is, you need a terrorist. You need somebody that's going in there and terrorizing that place, or you need somebody big enough that they're Aaron. Like, he is our equal. Aaron. Anything in between those two is not really going to work. Like, admiration and being kind is not going to work in that scenario.
Is we need more jihad at the Golden Globes.
I could have said it. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Thank you.
You took the words right out of my mouth, bro.
Joe Coy, not radical enough.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about it in terms of...
I'm into radical comedy, bro. If y'all are about radical comedy...
Chris is so lost right now. Are you good?
What?
I'm just messing with you. We're going
No, I mean, he definitely could have done better, but I'm thinking about it from the perspective of, like, when I was watching him, it kind of reminded me of, like, if I got booked to do 10 minutes at, like, a golf country club and I did okay, I would have been driving home like, yeah, that's what happens.
Well, here's the reason. Here's you saying that, that's a good, like, metaphor for what happened, because you saying that is what happened. You would go into it with the knowledge, this is a golf club or a country club. This is how these people are. This is how I need to mold my act to fit these people so that I can do well. And then you don't do well, and you have to kind of be like, I think I miscalculated.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like these people are wilder and more, they're wilder and more docile in the sense that they have to be somebody on the outside. I didn't bring, they're being something they're not constantly, and I didn't bring out that more like primal character of them, you know?
Yeah.
I think watching Joe Coy bomb on the Golden Globes was like watching the second tower collapse.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when I knew America was under attack.
Yeah, like when I was watching that, I was like, there's no way I'm going to school tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, I watched that and cried in the bathroom for 2 days straight, thinking I was going to get drafted.
I was very concerned.
Yeah. But he could have done better. But, I mean, whatever.
Joe Coy looks like a Starbucks manager. That's also what bothers me. The way he carried himself on that stage was not like, I'm one of you.
Oh, that's what I want. That actually reminded me of one of my points. That's one thing I wanted to say about it. Whatever. He's been doing comedy for 20 years. He could have done better. The one thing that I thought was rough, though, was he had like 3 bits bomb, and then instead of just going into his act, he was like, sorry, guys, now, I didn't write all of these, and I thought that looked...
That's so
that was
bad.
Like open mic... Shit, level energy of like, dude, you're doing stand-up at the Golden Globes. Like, if you're gonna bomb, you should just stay in the pocket and bomb. Don't do that open mic shit where you're like, hey, I gotta work on that one.
Yeah. Or it's like, or you could go like, even with that, if he'd have had a little bit more edge, he could have done like a Don Rickles type thing, like, who wrote this? Who wrote this? You know, like, and then that's funny of like, you say it without saying it. Like, rather than being like, this writer's team is garbage. Because the thing that sucks about that is like, eventually people are going to find out who wrote that.
Right.
You know, so it's like, he didn't even say, there's a funny way to blame it on your writers. There is a funny way to do that. He just didn't do it. You could just be like, Jesus Christ, who wrote this?
You could tell it wasn't a joke when he said that. Like, this is your fault, not mine.
That was a funny way of just being like, you do some people's written material. Sometimes it's going to go bad. Sometimes it was, to me, it was the line of just like, I didn't write all of these, but it's except the ones you're laughing at. It's get out of here, dude. Yeah. Get out of here.
I mean, some people might listen to us talking about Joe Coy on the Golden Globes and say, hey, you guys are just Raleigh comedians. You've done maybe a few gigs out of state. You've never approached us at all. I got the booking for the Golden Globes next year, so y'all can suck my nuts.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah.
For sure.
Jack Chrissy hosting the Golden Globes.
It's going to ruin your career, too.
Yeah,
dude.
I know,
it's
right?
It's going to be bad.
No, it's going to be really good. I'm going to do my bisexuality material.
Yeah.
It'll really go over well.
Oh, there'll be a lot of clapping.
Robert De Niro's here.
Yeah.
Woodbang. Harrison Ford's here. Woodbang. As long as you crack that whip on me, baby boy, you can go the Chelsea Handler route. I'm just saying, you bang everybody in the room. Like, Chelsea Handler's funny, but it's just like you could just do that. You could just be like, Bradley Cooper's here. Woodbang. The lady that played the lady that played Precious is here. Would you could just do that the whole time to a standing to people losing their minds.
This next thing I'm gonna say, I'm not gonna explain it, but when I host the Golden Globes, it's gonna be a lot like the DC sniper attacks.
Okay.
How so?
I told you I'm not gonna explain that.
Okay.
I feel like I'm back on Reddit.
I use a lot of Reddit.
That would be great.
I feel like I'm on Reddit right now.
Like you're in a comment section.
I feel like I'm sucked into Reddit. Like, like you take too much melatonin. Yeah. Not melatonin.
You mean NyQuil?
Yeah. Yeah, you mix melatonin and NyQuil, and then you're just reading Reddit like it's actually happening. That's the way I feel right now.
So we're in my apartment right now. It's a very tiny studio apartment, and Aaron's been crashing here. My roommate Harrison, and we were sick the past few weeks, so we've been pounding NyQuil.
Yeah, and but DayQuil.
Well, we had, at first we didn't have DayQuil. Yeah. Remember, so we had to make best of what we could.
Yeah, don't put. I never drank any NyQuil. What? I only drank DayQuil.
Oh,
dude.
You bitch! I didn't know you didn't fucking.
Yeah, the NyQuil makes me have like deep dark nightmares. NyQuil puts me. I'm talking to hat people. I'm like covered in spiders. I'm like, yeah, I beat this cold, but at what cost mentally? Yeah. I'm gonna be a bus stop person by the time this COVID gets out of my system, dude, for sure. Yeah, like this has got to go.
We were drinking DayQuil. We were reading each other poetry. Like we've been having a real artistic time.
Everyone's been sick recently.
It's been going around.
I was sick for a while.
Yeah.
That's hilarious that you're afraid of NyQuil.
Yeah.
When was the last time
I'll pound beers like it's my life, but like NyQuil, I'm just like,
you're like, ah.
Yeah, I got dreams that I don't feel like having.
Yeah, bro.
I didn't know you. I thought you could drink NyQuil at any time of the day. So a few weeks ago, I was a little sick, but I had to go into work, so I just had a little shot of NyQuil. And I didn't know there was alcohol in it.
Well, you know, but, you know, like,
oh, he relapsed.
I relapsed on NyQuil.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, now you're just a rapper.
Yo.
Now you can spit bars, dude.
Yeah, all I need is wake up. A gold chain.
No,
and an attitude.
Like, no, the thing I don't like about NyQuil is like going back to like the nightmares and stuff. It's like, you know those dreams where you're falling and then you just wake up right before it? NyQuil doesn't let you do that. You just die and then go to hell.
Are you selling
in your dream.
Me a fucking stair lift right now?
No, what I'm saying is, Dude, everybody know those dreams that you have. But no, it's like those dreams where you shake awake and you're like, wow, man, I'm glad I didn't have to see that out. Yeah. NyQuil makes you see those dreams through, and that's what I don't like about them, dude. Yeah, it's scary. I don't like it. I'd rather take two hits of blotter acid than drink a bottle of NyQuil, dude.
Dude, I drink NyQuil, I feel a little loopy, and I'm like, I wish I could get high again. And then I wake up, and it's easy. What? I mean, like, I don't get high, you know, like I used to.
So what happened? You guys got sick, and you guys just pounded
DayQuil? We were making out a lot.
All right, pounding is a strong term, but we weren't.
It was 5 days of nothing but pounding DayQuil.
I had the best
set
of ever drinking beer and taking DayQuil. I was like, I was genuinely be like, yo, am I going to be this guy now that just drinks DayQuil before it sets? Because I had such a good set off that shit.
Well, what happened?
Yeah.
Huh. You guys took it once? Twice?
No, I mean, it was like the little cap they put on the top.
Yeah.
Like, just took one of those every day for like 4 days.
We were getting real casual with the DayQuil. Nice. Let's just say the DayQuil was flowing freely. Nice.
Yeah, we were tossing the bottle back and forth to one another. Like, it got
see,
to that point.
Now, that sounds like pounding.
Yeah. Where I take it straight out of the bottle, and Jack's like, hit me with it and throw it across the studio.
We were actually doing that.
And then he sips some of it. Yeah. It wasn't a lot, but it looked. It didn't look like the way they want you to take it on the commercial.
Once you start referring to NyQuil as the bottle, I think there's some type of a problem.
You ever miss hydrogen peroxide in NyQuil? That's how you end up in grippy socks.
That's how you end up in St. James Infirmary.
That's how you end up with grip socks.
That's not hydrogen peroxide. That's the bottle.
That's
right
bottle?
There.
That's a bottle.
Y'all try. Yeah, you asking dudes if they want to drink tonight. They're like, like, sure, what are we drinking? And you just rip out that lean, mean green dude.
Yeah,
just start.
Yeah. Well, we're very happy to have you here, Aaron Ransom, our guest of the evening. You were you're on a 6-month hiatus, and not one person knew where you went. And I think
I think you
enjoy it when people don't know where you are.
I do.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to be gone, and you'll see me when you see me.
Yeah, it gives me a slight taste of what it felt back. Like, this is going to sound weird, and I don't mean it to sound like it's going to sound, but it gives you a slight taste of what the Lord must have felt like when he showed back up after 3 days of being dead. Yeah. And I was like, yo! Like that's what it feels like when you disappear on people for a while.
Are you comparing?
But I don't ever No, that's the fucking thing I was saying not to do. No,
comparing.
No, what I'm saying is it must have been a slight taste of what that must have felt like. The experience, not performing miracles.
You're comparing yourself to Jesus of Nazareth.
I mean, I get it from
Aaron's wrong. You're wrong.
I get it from Aaron's perspective though, because Aaron has this reputation in the local comedy scene where everyone's like, look, you're funny. I get it, but you also developed this insane aura to like a open mic comic that's only done like 5 open mics. Like, you'll get on stage and you'll be like, how's everyone doing? And they'll be like, God damn it, how does he do it? New comics, I want to be like, dude, let them fucking talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel that sometimes?
Yeah. No.
Oh my God, I've witnessed it so many times.
Do you ever feel like Christ after the third day?
That's exactly. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. I meant it like people are excited to see you again. When you're around all the time.
Wait.
When you're around all the time, people lose their excitement. You know what I mean?
I just got some news. A plane has just hit.
I also feel
we're going to turn this into the H.G. Wells War of the Worlds, where people are jumping out of their off their balconies and stuff. Like, have you? We're going to kill 10 people with this podcast.
Yeah. Martians are invading the capital right now.
Oh, his storytelling. People were so stupid 40 years ago, dude. The same, like, that's a weird thing. Like, the same people that were like, you guys used to believe this, Grandma. She's from the generation they heard a storybook read on the radio. On the radio. And they were falling apart. Yeah. Of course they believe some of the shit they believe. Yeah. They're stupid people.
I like the idea of a podcast having enough reach to fucking make people think that aliens are invading the country.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny as fuck.
That's what I'm just saying. This is the same people are like, they were just like,
yeah,
how did they believe that during the Civil War? Well, 40 years later, they were jumping off balconies thinking Martians were attacking the world.
I'll say it.
From a storybook written that was read on the radio. So let's not give these people too much credit for being smart, all right?
I'm gullible, though. I'm a bit of a farmer's daughter, you know?
Yeah.
We're just waiting for a good man to come along.
I'm just waiting for a good day of milking. You dig it.
Like, you dig it, child.
Hell yeah, dude.
But yeah, dude, you were gone, and I feel like when you came back, no one even asked you what happened. You were like, dude, I'm back, and that's all that matters.
No, some people were just like, what's up? Like, but the people I knew were like, what's up? The people that don't really know me were just like, oh, okay, I guess he's back.
Well, because you have phases. Sometimes you'll meet a lady and you'll be gone for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're like,
and I come back with all breakup material again.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these damn kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't do it no more.
In this damn house. Yeah.
Aaron, I really like that new bit you've been doing, Bebe's Kids.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, Jack's been running this by me a lot.
I am lost. Yeah. Now I am lost.
That's like a 90s like black comedy bit, Bebe's Kids. And I've just been...
And he'll just be like, yo, I really like that new bit you got, Bebe's Kids. And the first time I heard it, very funny. But when you're in a house with a man doing DayQuil for a week straight and you hear it for the 400th time, it ain't got quite that stank on it that it used to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I get that. For sure. Speaking of black comedy, this is a good segue.
Oh God. Let's hear how you really feel, Chris. I've been waiting on this day for years.
I got this. I promise I got this. We talked about Joe Coy. We also could talk about Cat Williams just going off the rails. Talk about someone who went off the rails. He went off the rails with Shannon Sharpe. And did you watch that?
Yeah,
I watched it.
I watched the whole thing. I watched the clips.
Yeah.
I watched the clips. Everybody's talking about.
I really watched the whole thing.
He's a national
I don't have
treasure.
The context of having, because it was like 2.5 hours long.
Cat Williams is a national treasure. That shit was so fucking funny. And you could tell when he talked about other people, at least, that he was telling the truth, because when they responded, none of them denied shit. They all just obfuscated.
Yo, but here's the thing, too. Here's what's unfortunate about Cat Williams doing it.
Yeah.
Is he's in certain circles, he's as big as they are.
Yeah.
But they really can't, like Steve Harvey can't snap back at Cat Williams because it just diminishes his brand.
Right.
Like he can almost, it's like Cat Williams coming at people who had things to lose as a man with nothing to lose. You know what I mean? He's like it's like William Wallace and the King of England. Like he has a lot more to lose. He looks a lot worse attacking a bunch of like, you know what I mean, attacking people who can't really attack back than just being like, I guess just let him be.
Cat
That's
Williams
not how that movie
it.
Went. If Braveheart does not go that way, that was a horrible metaphor, but like that is not at all how Braveheart goes.
I thought you're talking about like Wallace and Gromit for a second.
That would be funny. William Wallace and Gromit. It's just William Wallace and a clay dog.
That's my metaphor.
William Wallace and Gromit. We're going to make that. That sounds sick as shit. Yeah.
I don't even know where it came from, though. It seems like Cat Williams just sat down with Shannon Sharpe and was just like, you want to talk shit for 2 hours?
I was talking to some of my advisors from that community recently.
Mm-hmm. Wait, excuse me.
That's Aaron's way of saying he has black friends.
Yeah. Some of your confidants from the south of the tracks.
No, I have informants. Oh my God. I have barbershop informants, as they call them. And,
not like the movie, like where you get your hair cut.
The movie's about a place where you get what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So I go to the barber shop. It's owned by vegans. But no, they were saying like...
You ever been to a Vietnamese barber?
Because I hadn't watched all the other stuff. Apparently, a lot of them had went on and thrown some, like, kind of chunked some stuff at Cat Williams. And then Cat Williams, this was a response.
Ah.
Everybody thinks this was an attack, but this was a response to other stuff that had happened.
Really?
So this is like... This is like a freestyle artist getting in the mix and like dropping shit on people, and everybody's like, "Oh, he didn't have to go that hard at other artists." It's like, no, but if you listen to these three other songs, they hinted at me,
right?
You know, and people were talking about
So
I think when people look at it as an attack, it looks bad, but when people look at it as a response, it's a little bit different vantage point for that. But
business,
but with Steve Harvey and stuff like that, like how is he supposed to respond? He's on Family Feud.
Yeah,
he has daytime talk television shows and stuff. Like he can't respond to Cat Williams.
He also has enough money to not care.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
Steve Harvey.
But that looks weak though too. Yeah. It's like I was talking to somebody else about that the other day, of just like how it's just like I get paid more than him. I don't care. It's like but there's a certain level of like you do have to make a statement.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, like you do have to, like, you're a comedian at the end of the day. You do gotta like this isn't a place built around taking the high road.
It is weird too, because it's like comedy beef, except they're all hilarious.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's like Cat Williams is hilarious, Steve Harvey's hilarious,
right?
Yeah.
And who else? Cedric the Entertainer. Who else was it?
He did steal that. Cedric the Entertainer definitely stole that bit from Cat Williams, because I watched the side-by-side. He stole the act out and just changed one detail of the bit. And like, what's fucked up is I didn't watch any Cedric the Entertainer like really at all. That was the only bit of his that I knew. And it was stolen from Cat Williams.
What was the bit?
Something about like if Cat Williams' bit was like, when black people drive a Cadillac, they do it like this, and he has an act out. Cedric the Entertainer took this, but just changed Cadillac to spaceship.
Mm.
I could be wrong about the car brand. Please don't come after me in the comments.
Yeah, they're going to be coming after
you. It was a Ford Taurus, Jack. It wasn't a Hoopty.
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, that was...
It didn't come out of nowhere. Everybody thinks it came out of nowhere. I was informed, because I thought it came out of nowhere, and I was like... That's a weird thing about the internet and stuff like that. I was chiming in around people who had who were basically fans of Shannon Sharpe's podcast and listened to a lot of them, and they were like, "Nah, that really didn't come out of nowhere. That was kind of like a response because those guys had been on, and more or less like what I gathered from hanging out was just yeah, Cat Williams was just kind of responding to things.
I think that business wise,
and you giving that man like brown liquor.
Yeah, you
like
can't
he's just sitting there
brown
sipping
liquor.
Brown liquor.
Half
like, you know
off
what I'm
Hennessy.
Like, yeah, that's right. Yo, it's like straight. If you gave me brown liquor right now and let me drink for an hour before doing a podcast, I'd be like, yeah, this person in the mic scene is like I'd be throwing some shade. Yeah. That's why I'm drinking beer, dude. It keeps me lighthearted.
The second they sat down with liquor, I was just like, all right, some shit's about to go down.
Yeah, no, like, dude, liquor makes everybody like that.
Yeah. I think business-wise.
Even if they don't think it does.
Business-wise.
Even if you're like, no, I'm pretty good at drinking liquor. You're not.
Yeah.
Nobody's good at drinking liquor. Like,
that's true.
Like, it's just, you're not that.
Yeah,
you're not as good as you think
you
are.
I'm
going to
drink this liquor and totally not say exactly what's on my mind.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Even if some of it's false, I'm going to tell, I'm going to empty this thing out. Like, drinking beer, you can hang out. Like, but when you start ripping liquor, you're emptying out the chamber.
I've never heard anyone except you call it ripping liquor.
Yeah, dude.
Jack, you referred to
it
as for a whole summer.
I ripped some liquor. I ripped some liquor.
He didn't call it ripping liquor, though. He called it hitting the bottle.
But yeah, I was hitting the bottle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? By that, the Dayquil bottle, by the way. Yeah.
Put a nipple on it.
I want to say, business-wise, what Cat Williams did was brilliant because now he's going to sell out a whole arena tour for the rest of the year just based off that podcast.
Yeah.
He probably would have done that regardless, but now he's going to have new fans.
Like, I respect that a little bit. Like, I have a little bit of respect because I don't think I could do it. It's almost like you ever see people preach to make money? Like televangelists, they just preach and you know they don't believe it. They're just doing it for like the money side of it. Like, there's a part of me that, like, when people are just like online lunatics, like an Andrew Tate or people like that, like, even if they, like, don't get me wrong, those people probably believe the religion side of it, but they're like, it's so much more money just to tell people what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I believe, like I do have a little bit, I don't really have respect for televangelists, but there's a part of me that's just like intrigued by where does that come from? How do you have the ability to just get online and be like, have such a loose tongue to be like, this is going to get me so many followers and so much money?
It's definitely
like
a
what point in time?
Yeah.
It's like, at what point in time have you like Cat Williams is talking shit about the Illuminati, but that's such an Illuminati thing to just do what you can for followers.
That's so Illuminati of him.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's so Illuminati of Cat Williams to talk about the Illuminati. Like, oh my God.
Oh, is that how I said it?
That's how I heard it.
That's how you heard it? That doesn't mean it's real, dumbass.
What?
No, I'm just messing with you. Yeah.
Stop it.
Let's go on a hot riff about Walter Cronkite here, Jack. Shut up.
I love Walter Cronkite. I have a huge Walter Cronkite fetish I've been developing recently.
I know. I've heard it in the bathroom.
Ladies
and gentlemen, we're going to come out here tonight. And Jack's like, dear God, yes.
Yeah,
don't live with your comic friends. That's all I got to say.
Hey, fuck you.
Did that hurt?
Yeah, hurt my little feelings.
Oh, you didn't hear that the wrong way, did you?
Yeah.
I will say, I called this. Jack was like, Aaron's coming over for a few days. And I said, I guarantee you guys will stay up till 5 in the morning the first night. And he was like, nah, man. Sure enough, 3 days of no sleep.
Shows up with bags under his eyes, just bullshitting all night. Yeah.
And then you guys are like, are you guys sick? It's like, you mean that not sleeping thing?
Yeah, I'm in the shower, scrubbing my body, listening to Walter Cronkite announce a JFK assassination. Just gets me fucking rock hard.
Get you going.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't mean, I know we
Ladies and gentlemen, justice was done today. Like, he's a staunch conservative. Like,
it just gets me going.
The right thing happened today. It's all right, cool.
Yeah, I want to be him. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off track.
I don't remember where the track was.
So what happened? You just went back to Whiteville for a little bit?
No, I went broke, dude. I didn't have any money.
So you went back home?
Yeah, I mean, like when it's all said and done, I'm just like, I just ran out of money. I was in a long distance relationship, or I was talking to a chick long distance. I was trying to make. Run out of money quick when you don't have a job. You know what I mean? Like, when you don't, like, you think, like, oh, this X amount of money, this could last me 3 months responsibly. And then when you don't be responsible with that, it's like 4 weeks before that shit runs out. You know what I mean?
Instantly,
Like, so I was just like, I had a little nest egg set aside, and I was like, this can reasonably last me X amount of time until I get another job. And right. then, and I've done this multiple times in my life, probably four or five up to this point. But it's like, this will last me until here. And then a lot of things and decisions happen in there where you're just like, that 5 months of money I had saved up, I just blew that in a month, and now my back is pressed to the wall.
Right. Wait, wait, wait.
You know what I mean?
Wait, like, you told me you blew that and your back was pressed against the wall?
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
What are you talking about here?
And he will be doing this at the Golden Globes next year, everybody. It's going to be all bisexual
jokes.
Oh, my
God. Is that Rob Reiner?
It's going to be puns and Walter Cronkite shit and telling Harrison Ford I totally would.
I would, dude. Harrison Ford, I'd let him fucking... I don't want to say that on camera.
Yeah.
Sorry, on mic.
On camera.
I really wish I could...
No, please, tell us how you feel about Harrison Ford.
I think even despite the fact he's an 80-year-old geriatric man, I'd go to bed with him.
Nice.
Yeah, he's hot looking.
You have no age limit.
Not on Harrison Ford.
Right, yeah.
On these guys that try to hook up with me, hell yeah.
Wait, what?
What? Wait, I gotta explain that? Yeah. You ever get on this app, Grindr?
No, Jack.
It's full of old creeps. So Grindr is like a gay... It's supposedly a gay...
It's farmers only for dicks. If you're farming dicks, that's what it's for, dude.
It's like the Farmer's Almanac, but all cock all year.
Ben Franklin started it.
Ben Franklin was queer.
A penis a day is a penny earned or some shit like that. Yeah,
yeah. I got a whole stack of pennies in here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
for sure.
No, I don't want to give the listeners the wrong idea. I am a straight man. I just like to like kind of role play like I'm gay sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But I'm straight.
Right.
Who are you trying to be right now? Yeah.
What are you? I'm being...
By the way, Chris laughing silently. For those of you who can't hear it audibly laughing, he is laughing. So.
It's crazy.
Hell yeah. Sometimes I get self-conscious about laughing into the mic.
That's what... So you want your podcast to be bad?
Hell yeah.
I laugh away from the mic, so when people listen back, they don't think that I laugh at this guest.
I have this guest, I give them no credit.
Yeah. You just do the chocolate rain thing where he's like, he breathes away from the mic. You just do the chocolate rain shit. That's a deep cut for people who are way younger.
I love chocolate rain, dude. That's a classic YouTube video.
That is a great song, too.
Chocolate rain. You just slide in the chocolate rain and just laugh away from the... Make your guests sound like
that. That was when YouTube was at its peak.
2008.
When you could go to your friend's house and be like, yo, we're going to go back and forth. I'm going to show you my top 7 favorite YouTube videos, and you're going to do the same. And then we would just go home. Like, that was the whole day.
That's what I'm saying. Obama got inaugurated, and YouTube just went downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That freaking Obama guy ruined.
Yeah, no, man, that was rough.
Great guy.
great shoes. You know he played basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that about him.
He smoked cigarettes, too.
He smokes... You have a joke about that.
Could you imagine fouling Barack Obama in basketball and the Secret Service just beats your ass? Beats the shit out of you. Yeah. Yeah. Just whip your ass. Yeah. Like, that was a hard foul on the president. Come in this back room and let's give you a cavity search. Yeah.
Oh,
my
gosh. Oh, shit.
Like, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah.
So you're from Whiteville, North Carolina.
Are we on a date?
Hard reset.
Shut up.
He said, are we on a date?
So you told me you liked the color lavender last week. Don't you try to fuckboy me, Chris.
Aaron said, how dare you interview me? How dare you interview me?
No, yeah, okay, yeah, forget. Like,
no, you don't have to.
You're from no. So, Aaron,
you're from Slap Tappy.
I'm from Mechanicsville, Arkansas. But no, yeah, I was back in Whiteville. I had ran completely out of money. I was went home. I had no money. I had the. I mean, I'll tell people. I guess now that that's over, but like. No lights. The water was turned off.
Oh, like that.
Like no lights. The water was turned off. I mean, I have some land out there, and I'm like on a camper. I'm like plugged into the grid. I'm not like living in the sticks. I'm not like Kaczynski in it. I'm like just hanging out.
Kaczynski.
And like yeah, like so.
Be a lot cooler if you were Kaczynski in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If you stay out there long enough, it starts to seep in. But no, yeah, I was just dude. Yeah, it just made. I don't make horrible financial decisions. I make very, very bad decisions with work. You know what I mean? Mm. Like if I'll work. Here's the cycle I get stuck in. I'll work a horrible job to a point that it beats me in the ground, but I'll save up all of the money I made at that job, and I'll be like, all right, at the end of this month, I'm leaving this job.
Right.
So then I'll save up a good nest egg, and then I'll quit. I'll leave that job because they're usually horrible jobs. They're bottom of the barrel, scraping the bottom of the barrel jobs. Then I'll have 5 months of money saved up, like to pay bills and to get things taken care of. And then I'll blow through that in a month. And I'm like, oh shit, back against the wall again. And then I have to just go get another shitty job that'll like save me from blowing through all my money. And it's just a cycle.
I bet you those first 3 weeks, though, are so nice.
Oh my God, dude. The first month is great.
You just have 3 weeks to do whatever you can.
You're doing comedy. You're seeing your friends every night. But it's like the ebb and flow. You get to see your friends every night for 5 months. And then, or 3 months, and then all of a sudden you're out of money. Then you don't get to see them for 6 months. Where right. It's like, all right, maybe I could just figure out a way to do this correctly. But that's kind of like that's the Achilles heel, is hating a job, quitting, running out of money, going out and getting whatever job will take me, and then ending up right back in that same job, like market. You know, like right. Ending up, all right, I'm right back in a horrible job.
What type of jobs do you typically take that, like, you use that to save a bunch, and then you just drop them?
Massages.
Yeah. Or it'll be like dumb stuff like Amazon delivery driver. Yeah. That's what I'm born to do, you know? And then leave that and then just be like, I'll go do sheetrock. Mm-hmm. And then your back hurts and your knees are fucked up and your eyes are messed up. And then I'm just like, well, this is not a way a person should live.
You're at Papa like, John's, you know what I mean? Flipping like, a sign.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, some of the jobs are good. And the thing is, and I feel like kind of like a dipshit sometimes doing it, because like a lot of people work these jobs and work them for years and love them, but it's just like when I can't wrap my mind around how hard I'm working and how little I'm getting paid, I start like Andy Dufresne-ing a way through the wall to get out, and that's
not
usually
Ted Kaczynski
in your way. And that's usually by like saving money and getting out, and then genuinely having like a, well, as long as like, all right, so I have 5 months of money saved up. The first month I'll hang out and, you know, go do comedy and do my stuff, and then by month two or three I'll start looking for something that really makes sense. But then I get like caught up in the good time of just doing comedy and just going out to eat with your friends every night. Every time a friend says you want to go out to eat, every time a friend says you want to go get a cup of coffee, every time a friend says you want to drink. And then by month three, I'm like, damn, I've spent the money. I spent my resume sending money, and now I'm into job application money.
Yeah. And then, you know what I'm saying? Especially like when you don't have a job, it really hits you like, oh, everything I'm doing is costing me money.
Yeah, every single thing. And at first it's fun. And then when you start seeing the end of it all,
terrible.
And then sometimes what happened this last time, because that's worked for me for a few years, what happened this last time is I ran out of money before the other job said we'd take you on. So then I had just 3 weeks of just laying in a hot toaster camper, staring at the ceiling like, what are you doing, dude? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Because like I said, I've managed to be lucky or blessed, whatever you want to call it, in the past, of just like the job hires me on and I still got 4 weeks left. I still got a month left of savings left and the job hired me on. This is going to be cool. Still a bad job, but I can make it to that first, second, third paycheck. This time that didn't happen. And that this last year changed my entire kind of way I look at stuff.
Have you thought about like going to school for something?
I mean, I have basically an associate's in IT. But I didn't want to do that. I just decided to go back to construction. That's steady money, and it's very good money, and there's a way to do it. You know what I mean? But, like, during COVID, I went and got, like, a bunch of – basically went back to community college and finished and, like, got, like, certified to do technical IT.
I didn't go to college. Like, yeah. So it's kind
of – Would you ever go?
Probably not now.
Why not?
I want to go balls of the wall and completely pursue comedy, you know? And financially, it's hard when I don't have, like, a totally stable day job. Like, my job's good right now. I'm basically, like, a breakfast waitress, you know?
Right.
I give people plates of eggs, and I go, what's up, sugar? You know? Mm-hmm. And I like it.
Wear a wig. Fake eyelashes.
Well, that's just optional, but I do it anyway. I do that, and I don't want to go back to school because I didn't go in the first place because I don't want to accrue a bunch of debt, and I'm still of that same mentality. I don't want that huge looming debt above me because that's the whole college pipeline is they get you in there, you get the degree, and then you go and get a job to pay off the degree for the next 10 to 15
years. That's true, but at the same time, I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, if you really wanted to get like an associate's degree, you could get a two-year degree at a community college and pay it off in like a year.
You can get government grants and not owe no money.
Right.
That's true.
Like you can go to community college for
free. A two-year college. A four-year college is a little different, but like if we're talking a two-year college degree, in terms of money, you could do it. But
and the thing is like
I don't want to learn nothing.
College is to get a degree in what you want to be. Community college is like to get a degree in what you are likely to be.
Yeah, community college kind of explain.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because regular college is like, I want to be an art design major with a minor in conjunctive philosophy or something like that. Because that's what you genuinely think there are careers in.
Community college
is like, I'm going to learn shit that there's open availability when I get out of here.
Yeah. You know?
Nobody's battling. Like, people might be applying for those jobs, but it's not a battle royale for the three jobs in that career field.
Right.
You know?
It's true. Yeah. It is crazy, though, how, like, life plays out sometimes, though, because I get what you're saying. Like, you want to do comedy full-time. Like, what happened to me that I thought was wild was I
moved to New York.
No, hear me out. Before we get there, though, but before I knew I wanted to do stand-up, right? And I was like, I'm going to do stand-up, but, like, I don't know when. It was just, like, in my back pocket. But what's crazy is I went to UNC Wilmington for college. Like, I went there for, I was not doing stand-up. I went there for college, and then I was like, oh, there's a comedy club here. And then I was like, I know I'm going to do stand-up, but, like, am I going to do it now? I was like, I probably won't do it now. And then my, like, senior year at UNCW, I was like, no, I'm going to do this open mic. And then I just ended up doing... So it's crazy, like, what I'm trying to say is,
so you quit,
like,
your senior year?
No, I graduated.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is it's, like, it's kind of crazy how, like, the three of us are comics, and we got into it all different ways. Like, I genuinely went to UNCW to go to college, and it still... It, like, actually almost made it easier for me to get into stand-up.
No, I would say, like, a lot of people, like, because I did it way, way back in the day and then quit for, like, 10, 12 years. But, like, I would say, like, if you can, because if you go to college, you're probably partying and going to games and doing some stuff like that. You do have a social life. Like, it's like, go to college and then sacrifice your social life to do comedy at night. And then you can kind of do both.
Yeah. It's true.
That's, you know, what I, you, well, can, you, yeah, can do both. Like, you can do both of those things.
Yeah, well, I went to college, and then I went to community college, and then I went to university, and then I was, like, partying and shit, and then I got it, like, all out of the way. And then my last semester as a senior, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this last semester, like, instead of, like, getting fucked up every week, I'm just going to do stand-up.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I did.
I've decided.
Because, I mean, you're in a win-win situation if you're getting a degree in a thing that has a practical job and you, like, are doing comedy on the side. Like, that's literally a cheat code almost.
Yeah.
Because what that actually does is when you get out with the degree, you can get a corporate job that sucks. Yeah, all jobs suck.
But you're making
enough money to where you can do comedy, where, like, it's much harder, like the Jack route, where it's like, what I'm saying is, it's much harder because I'm basically in the Jack route too. I just did the blue collar style of it, but it's like, it's much harder to work a grueling ass physical job, and then try to muster up that last little bit of energy. And people are like, yeah, but not really for me. But it's like, you're 24.
Right.
One day you're going to wake up 32 doing this.
Oh, dude.
And do you want to work from home and make, you know, $80,000 a year while doing comedy on the side because you're not married and don't have any kids either?
Right.
Or do you want to wake up at 32 having to go work at the Waffle House and doing comedy on the side? Like, yeah, that might give you some material, but is what's sustainable?
It's wild, too, because every route for stand-up, like, there's no shortcut. Every route is hard. So, like, for example, I have a regular sales job from 8 to 5, and I do comedy at night. That's hard. But then also, like, there's people who, like, have a they work at a coffee shop and do comedy, and like that's hard too. Like whatever job, whatever level your job is, doing stand up at night with that is still
is most very people hard. That like the if you're not Dave Chappelle, who started at 14, and
I'll
like,
tell you,
you
what,
know,
I
like,
am not Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
No, I realized that recently. I thought I was.
You're the people he talks about all the time. Yeah.
Whoa, like, what's
yeah.
that?
Don't act. No, no. Yes, and motherfucker. Like,
I'm
what
bad
you
at yeah. that. I'm bad at that. Yeah. I'm a little queer. Dave hates me because I'm queer.
He might.
I'd love that, but he might. No, my whole thing is like, I like stand up. I'm gonna keep doing it. I feel I'm young enough to pursue it.
You're 24.
Yeah.
But everybody, here's the bad mindset about stand up. Is everybody prepares to make it in your 20s. What if you have to sustain until you're 39 before anything good happens?
You got to really want it.
Yeah, but I mean, what if you got to sustain? Are you living, is sleeping on somebody's couch and working at a coffee shop going to get you to 37?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You were talking about earlier, like life switch ups on you. Dude, I've been going through like a whole revelation recently because I'm 28 now.
Yeah.
And my whole perspective on all this shit has like drastically changed, because like to go off what you said, like, dude, I started doing stand-up, I was 23 and I was in college, and I was you don't realize it, but I realize it now because I'm 28, but it's like, dude, when I was 23, I thought I was adult. I was a kid.
A child.
I was a child.
But
you don't even realize, like, I was a child doing stand-up, and like, and I was in college, so like, you can get, well, dude, when I was 23, I could get 4 hours of sleep and then still go to class.
Your body changes. And still I can't do comedy at night and do drywall during the day. No, I'm dying.
That's what I'm trying to say, too. Yeah, so, like, my whole perspective on this shit has changed, like, within the last 6 months. Because, like, I'm to the point now. And, by the way, for you people, I'm 28. I'm not saying I'm old. I'm just saying, like, when you compare doing stand-up at 23 to doing stand-up at 20, it's like, you start to realize, like, okay, like, I need at least like 6 to 7 hours of sleep. Mandatory. I can't just fucking quit my day job. Like you start putting shit into place and you realize like, oh my, I need, you start looking at your life in terms of like survival.
Well, the window, like the older you get, the window on spontaneity makes you like, it closes so much. It makes you look like a dummy.
Right.
Like if you're 40 years old and you're just like, no, but I work at this coffee shop and this coffee thing. It's just, if you're not aware that that's sad, You don't have the awareness that it takes to even do
this. That's a great point. That's a great point. Like, there's a huge difference between being like, hey, I'm 23 and I work at a coffee shop and I do stand-up at night.
People still think it's charming.
But then to be like, there's a huge difference between that and being like, I'm 42 and work at a coffee shop and do stand-up at night. It's like, that sucks.
It's sad.
And you start to realize, like, is that what I want my life to be? Right.
Hey, I'm like, 42 and work at a coffee shop and do stand-up at night. You got a fucking problem with that? That's what I'd say about it. Like, no, it's like,
you don't know that though,
you're not, you don't know that you're 23.
But to offer a different perspective to what you guys just said.
Oh, the perspective I've already been in. I've been 23, dude.
Fuck you.
I have been 23. Like, are you giving me a perspective that I know about?
Is you're talking,
I had the
about,
same mindset.
You're talking about when you're older and how sad it is and how broken it looks to still be doggedly pursuing stand-up with no success and still holding a day job that's not ideal and not sad. Having like a family. It's sad, but also at the same time, I hold it in my heart. Like, if you really, really want to do it, then you have to be able to compartmentalize how sad that is to get to where your dream is in your head. And if you're not able to do that and you only dwell on the sadness, and even the sadness I experience now as a young man doing this shit, and I hate to talk in third person about this because I feel like it's so self-aggrandizing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm doing this shit. I don't think I'm doing all that much. At the end of the day, it's just like, if you really want to do it, just do it. And who gives a goddamn what other people think about it? You know?
That's true. But what I think Aaron and I are trying to say is realize, like here's something that I went through. Like, you're 20. I'm 23. I want to do stand-up, right?
I'm Gen
Z. Yeah, right. But what I'm trying to say is, like, you're 23. And you're like, I'm 23, fuck it, I'm gonna have a job and do stand up, right?
Yeah.
And then you get older and you're like, you know what is also cool though?
stability,
having basic health insurance. Like, that's when you get older,
knowing where you're gonna brush your teeth that night is nice. It's nice to know that I'm gonna brush my teeth the same place a month in a row. That's nice to know. You know, like
oh, I can live here for the full 12-month lease. Like, that's pretty sick.
Well, it's different. Like, and the reason I don't like to diminish. Like you're like, let me give you a vantage point. What I'm saying is, I've been 23. There's a big difference between the way you don't have 35-year-old peers yet. I have 35-year-old, 36, 37, 38-year-old peers.
Gay.
There's a difference when they're flourishing and doing well, and you're still trying to keep this shit like, because it the weight of being able to see something people don't see gets heavier as you get older. When you're young, like, they don't see it, but I can see it. They give you that the weight's not as heavy as waking up at 50, like, I'm trying to make this dream work. It's heavier. It's just fucking, the carrying that weight is heavier.
Yeah.
Is more burdensome.
You ever heard that one song by the band The Weight? I'm a big fan of that song. Just pulled into Nazareth. You know that song?
Yeah.
It's feeling about half. Sorry, I'm a little ADD.
No, but I get what you're saying.
No, go ahead. Like, let him talk. No, fill it in.
Yeah, no, I'll fill it in. So the thing.
Fill this in. Keep going. I'm not going to say shit. I'm going to let you bury yourself right now.
The thing about.
Chris is laughing working. Again. He's not laughing into the mic, but he's laughing really hard.
I had more to say. You didn't let me finish.
Okay, hold on. All right, me and Chris are going to be quiet. Yeah. You get at the floor for 5 minutes. I want to watch you bury yourself right now.
The thing about working at a coffee shop and being a 50-year-old man pursuing stand-up is at least you get to go out at night and do stand-up and have fun. Yeah, you have your peers that shit on you and shit like that. You have all these other people that look you at keep, you like something.
No, what's sad? Here's the sadness. You're wrong. You're looking at.
I'm glass half full.
No, what I'm saying is, but you're looking at the nightlife side of it. You're not looking at the fact that this man had 20 years to realize, go get a better fucking day job, son. You had 20 years to go be an accountant. You had 20 years to not work at a fucking coffee shop. You could have both. Right. The beautiful thing of it is you can kind of have both. You can be the manager of a construction site and go do comedy at night. Now, because nobody anymore is sad you don't have a wife and kids. Nobody's really sad about that. Enough people have been married and had kids to where that doesn't look sad anymore. People are like, God, I wish I didn't have a wife and kids. What the sad part about it is you had 25 years to do something other than pour coffee. You're making $10 an hour, you dumbass. Do something else.
Right.
You could have had a career and been doing your dream at the night, and you could have had a glorious life. You're doing this to yourself, dipshit.
Aaron,
that's my diatribe.
Stop.
This is how Aaron talks.
Stop yelling at me. Stop it.
I'm trying to play video.
I'm gonna cry.
I have a career, boy. Like,
I want to play my PS5. The neighbor just banged on the wall. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah, by the way, she is she's a musician, a wannabe musician. She's 50 and she works at a coffee shop.
We play loud-ass music in here and she bangs on the wall.
I was about to say, did someone just bang on the wall?
Yeah.
I like how Jack was like, hey, you know what you should do? You should bring all your stuff to this better location.
I was thinking about that all day. I was like, we could have easily done this at Chris's house.
I thought it would be fun. Like,
we got a woman banging on the wall.
Yeah, man, it's nice in here.
I brought like three bags of shit.
No, but that happens a lot. We're usually in here.
I think it's hilarious that we just annoyed your neighbors, and it's like, wow, we just competed against four guitars.
Yeah.
We just made more noise than
four dudes in here playing a horrible rendition of some song we learned yesterday.
Yeah. Stop fucking yelling at me. Stop it. Stop making me feel bad about my dreams.
No, we're not yelling at you. I think
we're not making you feel bad about your dreams. I'm saying that you don't realize, like, you don't realize how good of a position you're in, but I'm saying if 50-year-old me gets to talk to 35-year-old Jack Chrissy, if I'm not dead by then, I'm gonna you're gonna have a different viewpoint on the way things are.
Well, you know what I'm starting to realize too? Yeah. It's like, you realize, obviously, we all love stand-up, right? Obviously, like, it's something we're going to do. But you change as you get older. Like, so, for example, like, when I was 24, I was like, I'm going to work at a coffee shop, but I'm going to do stand-up twice. I'm going to do 2 to 3 sets a night every night, right?
Yeah.
But then you get older and you realize, like, you know what's cool, too, if I get this for me, I'm just speaking for me. You realize you get older and you're like, you know what's cool too? If I get a decent job and I have health insurance and I get a house and a wife and I still do stand up, but I'm only, hold on, but I'm only doing it, instead of doing it twice a night, I'm doing it like maybe four times a week, five times a week. And then you start to realize like, that's fine. And it's not as bad as you thought. Then you start playing
golf and you're like, I got a really nice set of clubs. Yeah. I'm not going to go to the club tonight. I'm going to be on the driving range. Next thing you know, you meet your friend. He gets you into shoes. You got a whole shoe collection your wife nags you about.
No, but see, this is the same thing. All right, this is the same argument as like this is the same argument that like people from punk have when they're in their 20s, like when they're in their like late teens, early 20s, where they're just like, man, I'll always be a punk. If you if you're not a punk, you're a fucking sellout, dude. And then you see a 50-year-old walking around with a pink like fucking mohawk and a septum piercing with Born to Fuck tattooed on his neck, and he's 53, and you're like, that's stupid looking.
Okay, well,
you look like a dumbass.
And to go off of that, like,
you know what I mean?
I'm not even doing a bit right now, but like, I'm truly mean this. I think that's why autism is so common in comedy, because you get to the point where you start looking at dudes and you're like, you did the same routine with your life for 30 straight years. Like, you just woke up, did the same job, and then did the same four open mics every day of your life for 40 fucking years. You didn't change anything about your life. It's like, that is autistic as shit.
Yeah, that's so autistic. I eat a McMuffin, I go to work from 8 to 5.
And I go to house
and I do my eggs. It's like, it's one thing, it's like,
you change nothing. It's like, I remember one time you and I were talking about jokes, and it's like, we were talking about how like sometimes we can't write new material, but it's bullshit, because you're like, you've been alive for the last 30 days. You're telling me you haven't seen anything funny in the last 30 days?
You have seen nothing funnier than what you've written down.
It's like that with comedy too. It's like, you telling me you did the exact same routine with your life? You didn't try one new thing? With you didn't go watch a fucking movie and everything? That's honestly the big
like divorce sending comedy into something, or sending people into comedy, or like breakups into it's because you like, it's routine, get out of my house,
right?
And now you're like, well, oh my god, now I have like a base level of nihilism. I'm sad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming into this thing with a brand new experience that I never saw happen in the foreseeable future that I had from literally 2 weeks ago. And then they go in like, so yeah, I'm just going through a breakup and this is going on. It's like, yeah, like,
if you do like, if you're not living at all. Like, if you do the same thing over and over again, into comedy too long, and only do the same shows and the same mics, you're going to atrophy and you're not going to make any progress. And if you don't ever get out of the same area, and this, I think, is true in life too, you will become so adapted to that area that you are stagnant within it.
Before we even started the podcast, is what we were talking about. Like, people being able to like vividly remember high school. I don't vividly remember high school. I've lived so much. I've lived so much between 18 to where I am now that I don't. Like, there's still people back in the hometown drinking beers in their garage. Like, we were at the state championship and lost. My life hasn't been, like, I'm not going to, sad is the word, but I'm not going to use the word sad. But it's like, my life hasn't been so predictable and unspontaneous and, like, and laid out before me in the last years that it's like, I've had a really good time since then. I've met a bunch of really good people, military, comedy, working jobs, working construction, on the road, living in hotels. I've had a really good job in between then. So it's like, the distinction between 25 and 18 isn't that big of a deal, because it's like, I don't look back at like, that's the, like I said, I know people who are my age, still living in hometown, who got married at 22 because I'm from a small town, and they were very coaxed into getting married and settling down and stuff. And they wake up one day and they're 34 and they're like, man, I'm gonna go throw the ball a little bit. I remember I used to be good at throwing football. It's like, yo, like that. The only thing you have to, I know this is a kind of a beat down topic, only being able to remember high school is crazy.
I just got some news. America is under attack.
No,
we're not running bits right now.
No, we're not running bits right now.
This is what people without life experience that want to chime in on life experience topics. This is what they want to do.
I'll tell you this about
high school. Man, you got to keep your dreams alive. If I'm 50 working at a coffee shop, I'll be fine. Anywho, let's run business because I got no life experience. Be quiet. Shut the fuck up.
I just wanted to punk you.
No, you're good, dude. Hell yeah. This is the way me and Jack hang out. We're having a good time.
No,
I love Jack.
He throws me off a lot of balconies.
If anybody's just like, man, he's being mean to Jack. It's like, no.
No,
yeah, my stepdad's a good man.
Yeah. We need more milk.
I'll tell you this.
You
drank all the goddamn half and half.
But no, it's
that's interesting though that you don't remember anything about high school, like barely anything.
I mean, I remember stuff, but my brain doesn't revert back to that as my happy place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people, like, their brain reverts back to that as, like, yo, do you remember when Becky won this and Chandra was really mad, but then they
yeah, did, like, if you like, remember like,
my
all
brain
that,
doesn't my right, brain yeah. does my brain does not revert back to those years as a happy place.
Right.
And
right.
I had a good time. Like, I had a good time, lots of friends. I had a great time in high school. But, like, the years up until now have also been a lot of fun. I've met a lot of cool people. I've done cooler stuff outside of town, like in New York. I've learned new foods. I've learned new people. I've learned how to play music since then. Right. Like in high school, I didn't know how to play music. I know how to play music. Now it's like I don't revert.
Oh my God, Aaron, when are you going to shut the fuck up? Christ. Yeah. Oh,
I'm the guest, you dumb motherfucker. You fucking riff ass dummy. Talk about Robert Downey Jr., you fucking stupid. You stupid bitch. No, shut
you're
up.
You're just
dude.
Going on and on and
yeah,
on.
I'm the guest, stupid ass. You don't run bisexual. Bits. I'm the guest, you stupid idiot. You dumb motherfucker.
I'm the host.
You stupid ass.
You're not talking about sucking cock.
Thanks a lot for talking, guest. It's back to the Jack Christie Morning Show. Shut the hell up. Shut the fuck up.
I ate pita bread in New York. It wasn't like my hometown. You know what I mean?
I'm like, oh, no. Tell me about life advice. Give me some more life advice. That's the last thing you really chimed in on. Give me some more life advice.
I don't know. Yeah.
Give me 23-year-old bar waitress. Give me some fucking life advice, you dumbass.
Jack's life advice is you want some advice?
Yeah.
When you've never done a drug before, don't take two tabs.
Take about 6 or 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always take about 8 times more than the active dose of any drug you're experimenting with.
Yeah.
You want to smoke meth while your parents are sleeping? Take the whole bag. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I had a bad mushroom trip.
You had a bad mushroom trip?
I had a lot of them. Me too. I always take too much.
How many times have you done it?
You've never taken mushrooms, right, Chris?
No.
Don't.
Yeah, I just don't.
It's too late. You missed it.
I've always said this. It's just like that's too long to be that high.
Yeah.
That's why I've never done it.
Yeah.
And then acid is longer.
Yeah.
Acid makes no sense being high for 16 hours and shit.
Yeah, well, mushrooms 6, acid's 12.
Well, and also I realized at a very young age, like, I've smoked weed with my friends. Like, I've been high a decent amount of times, and every time I smoke weed, I'm always in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, this is about as much as I can handle.
Yeah.
Like, I can handle it, but this is about as much as I can handle.
Yeah, dude, I can take, like, edibles and get to a point where I'm like,
I flew off, several times.
But
went down the tubes, down the drain pipes. I used to take a lot of drugs, and I stopped. And I'm really glad.
Nice.
Stop drinking, too.
I think this is the first time I'm ever going to have to say this, because I feel like the three of us could talk for 4 hours.
Yeah.
But I think we have to cut this one short.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Let's cut it.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you, Aaron.
This was fun. I love you, Jack. I love you all.
Too, dude.
We'll have you on
again. Hell yeah. Peace
Even though I give you all shit, that's love, dude.
Oh, dude, you're the man.
Later. Peace and love.
All right, later. Peace.